Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
Luke 12 today on Through the Word, with stern warnings from Jesus about three major pitfalls in your walk with God: hypocrisy, greed, and worry. Any one of these can trip you up like a banana peel in an old cartoon. The first warning comes at verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." So Jesus says to be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. Yeast is that powder you put in bread dough that bubbles up and makes your bread fluffy. Just a little bit will fluff up a whole loaf. It's good stuff and perfectly healthy. In the Bible, however, yeast is a picture of sin. Now, real yeast isn't sin, but it makes a great picture because just a little sin in your heart will spread through the whole thing in a hurry, like little bacteria multiplying. And the Pharisees were guilty of a sin that can start in one person and spread through the whole group: hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means saying one thing and doing another, presenting yourself as a great person but acting rotten when no one's looking. To keep us from the poison of hypocrisy, Jesus reminds us that you really can't hide anything. In verse 2, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. Anytime you're tempted to sneak a sin and cover it up, just imagine it broadcasting on YouTube for all to see. Every lie, every gossip, every five-finger discount, every time you pretend to be something you're not, just to impress someone. And why do we even do that in the first place? It happens when we care more about what people think of us than what God thinks of us. In verse 4, Jesus warns about the fear of man. Not fear as in run away, he's going to hurt me. Fear of man means overly concerned about what people think, afraid of looking bad. Hypocrisy happens every time I try to impress people with what a good person I am, because it's not real, it's an act, and words are too easy. So in verse 5, Jesus says to fear God, not man. Again, not running away, but being concerned about what God thinks about you. Hypocrisy is prevented when the only one you care to look good for is God, and you know he looks at the heart, at your true motives, because empty words never fool him. Moving on to verse 10, Jesus says, "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." People often ask me, what's the one sin that can't be forgiven? Well, Jesus says there's just one, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? Well, there's some debate about it, but my favorite teachers say it means to hear the truth from God, to know it. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart that this is the truth, and yet to harden your heart and reject it absolutely for all times. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Later in verse 13, a man asks Jesus to settle an argument with his brother because they're fighting over inheritance. This is a common contention that has split many families. Jesus tells them that it's not his job to settle every argument. Still today, Jesus wants us to deal with our own arguments. We can't hide behind our Christianity. We have to deal with people. But he does give a warning about how you deal with these issues when money gets involved in your relationships. The warning is against greed. Greed is wanting more of something that you already have enough of. In verse 15, then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." In other words, Jesus says that life is more than just stuff. If your life was a box of cereal, the ingredients list wouldn't just list your Xbox, your car, your CDs, and everything you own. Life is made of more permanent things like faith, hope, and love. Life is the things you do, not just the things you have. It is the truths that you live by and how you treat people. So Jesus tells a parable about a man who was greedy in verse 16. A man was blessed with success and riches, and we find his philosophy of life at verse 19. "And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." This is the classic philosophy of every person who has ever aspired to live the easy life. Now, enjoying life is good, but this is different. This is about living life all for yourself. You have enough, so who cares about everyone else? God sends a sobering wake-up call at verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" At any moment, God can say, your life is demanded from you. Your life, not your possessions, not your good intentions, but your life. What you did, how you treated others, how you used the stuff God gave you to help. Notice that God will demand your life of you because it is not yours to keep. It is on loan from God and you will give it back. So Jesus' first warning was against hypocrisy, then greed, now worry, in verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Worry is when you allow your mind to run over and over any number of bad things that may or may not happen. Worry is dangerous stuff. It can consume the mind and weigh down the heart, destroying both your joy and your ability to show love. It just stops you. And Jesus says, don't do it. To keep us from worry, Jesus reminds us that we are valuable to God. At verse 24, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. The truth is that God cares about you. Understand that to worry is to question God's love and faithfulness. So get your thoughts off your worries and back onto God. Now, hypocrisy, greed, and worry all have something in common. They're all heart issues, and they all happen when your heart gets stuck on worldly things. Here we have a definite case where following your heart is dangerous. The heart is already poisoned, so Jesus provides the antidote beginning in verse 29. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. The heart of the issue is your heart, and where you set it. If it's on worldly things, you will be stuck in worry. But in verse 31, Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. If you struggle with worry, this is the solution. Seek God's kingdom. That means putting all your striving into living for God as king, for his kingdom is every place that serves him as king. Stop pursuing happiness and pursue God instead. Pursue happiness and you'll get neither. Pursue God and you'll get both. Then in verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Jesus tells us that the key is to set your heart on things above. It's not about following your heart. That comes naturally. The key is to lead your heart. How do you lead your heart? Well, in verse 34, he explains, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart always follows your treasure, anything you invest in with time and money and thought and creativity. Think about it. Odds are you're not a model train enthusiast, but if you spent the next week spending your hard-earned money starting a model train set in your garage, pored over magazines with research, creativity, investment, guess where your heart would be? It would spend every waking moment waiting for FedEx to show up with the new Lion LX 300 train engine with chrome-plated caboose. If you want your heart to be in heaven, lead it there. Invest your time, energy, creativity, money, and most importantly, your love into God's kingdom. Your heart will not be able to resist. Hey, the same principle works in marriage. If your heart just isn't in it anymore, then lead your heart by investing your treasure. Now, there's a lot more good stuff here in chapter 12, but we're just out of time on today's broadcast. Read Luke 12 for yourself. Heed Jesus' warnings and check your heart for these three dangerous poisons: hypocrisy, greed, and worry. And take a good dose of God's antidote. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Store your treasures in heaven, and your heart will not go astray.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamondhead, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.